your host, Arena Antoine, and I mean, welcome back to Self Love Lounge. This is a place that stands for diversity, equity, and inclusion in our pursuit of self-love. Self-Love Lounge is a place to learn about, hold space for, and embrace ourselves deeply. Each episode will bring warmth to being comfortable with the uncomfortable. So let's uncondition our minds together to find love within and forever lead with it. So before we get into it, grab a hot or cold beverage and let's go. Welcome back to Self Love Lounge. I'm super excited about this guest speaker because it's such a full circle because I start the year kind of in a period of loss. And then you're like, okay, I think I completed a cycle, but there's a new one coming. I'm not sure where the finish line is, but I can feel it. But I also feel very lost. And I know this was a conversation with our guest speaker who will introduce herself shortly. That was something that she talked about in many videos on Instagram, on TikTok, and I felt like this really resonated with all the listeners that are listening today. And so before we even get into this topic, I would love for my guest to firstly introduce herself.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for inviting me. My name is Misha, and just a little bit about myself. I am a Reiki master, spiritual coach. I've been actively working in the film fashion industry for, I would say, almost 15 years. Took a bit of a break, went into a deep spiritual journey, and now I'm, like you said, I've come full circle. And, I just started sharing my journey on Instagram, TikTok. It started to resonate with a lot of people, and yeah, here I am.
Thank you so much for such a great introduction. The reason why I think spirituality connects so much to people is because you're finally getting to know yourself on a deeper level. And we're kind of removing that veil of, you know, the facade and society. I'm curious to know, how did your healing journey begin?
I would say around 2011, there was an incident that happened. And after that incident, I was like, wait a minute, if I'm wrong about this, what else have I been wrong about? Because my intuition, my gut was like feeling something, but the person responded in a way that was like, no. And I was like, huh? But my intuition was right. And that's when it started. And by 2012, I met someone who I believed was my twin soul. And that really was a catalyst for me where everything just started to crumble. And I was like, who am I? Mm-hmm. What am I doing? You know, and there were things I was sensing, things I was feeling that nobody could really give me the answers for.
Right.
And when you grow up in a South Asian community, these are things that are not really talked about openly. Mm-hmm. It's almost like if something bad happens, we're told, okay, go pray. Just go pray. But no one was able to break it down for me from a spiritual perspective of like, what is happening internally? What are these gifts that we are born with? I didn't even know what light worker was. That I had to discover on my own through research. And literally, I was just left out in the open. Literally just had to learn through trial and error and research and reading books and listening to other podcasts and finding other healers and psychics and whatever, just for some kind of answer or clarity. There was a moment where I kind of was like, yeah, no, I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And I had stopped and I just full force just focused on my career. But I remember there were moments I would do these big, like fashion shows, or I would be on set and I would just feel so empty and lost and unfulfilled. And I was like, Misha, you loved doing this. You are now walking away and you're not loving this. Something is not right.
Right.
And that was like a big, like red flag for me.
Mm-hmm. And I guess when you realize that there was like a gap or what you love was no longer what you loved, what did that mean to you when you had that conversation with yourself? Because oftentimes when I'm having that conversation with me, whether it's like the podcast, for example, I'll go in like a peak of like love, like I love this. But the moment where I start doing this for other people and no longer doing this for me almost, I lose that passion and I lose that drive because I'm thinking about the expectation of like society and your friends, your mom, just like everybody's, I guess, insecurities is now becoming your own. And I'm also an empath. So I feel like that's also a different intake. But yeah, what was that conversation like for you?
Basically what you just said, that it became about everybody else. Mm-hmm. That what started off as like a passion, a love, a joy for me became about, well, am I good enough for you? Am I good enough for you? Am I good enough for you? It was like I was trying to prove myself to everybody. But on the inside, I was seeking validation. And when people would like, you know, see my work, I was like, why isn't anybody saying anything? Is it because I suck? Is it because I'm not good enough? Right. And as artists, we need feedback, right? We want to know, are you connecting to what I'm doing? Do you like what I'm doing? Does it resonate with you? Do you feel anything? Right. That's how artists work. And so when I wasn't really getting that kind of positive feedback, I really thought, oh my God, I'm horrible. I'm not a great artist. I suck at this. Okay. I need to go back and be better and better. And it became all about just being better and proving to everybody like I'm so good. And before I knew it, it was like, I was leveling up, and it was literally like people were like, shit, she's too good now. But in my head, it was like, nope, not good enough. Nope, not good enough. Right. And I was always constantly like comparing myself and not feeling like my work was like good enough. Sometimes I wouldn't even post some of my work because I didn't like it, even though like friends or family would be like, hey, that's really good. And I'm like, nope, I could do better.
Right. You know, it's almost like you're your worst critic. I also feel like when I'm in that mindset, I'm realizing that everyone's a reflection. And then I'm like, okay, well, because I'm feeling this way, that means I don't feel that way about myself. Does that make sense?
True. It's true. And then I really had to take a step back and ask myself, what is it that you're truly looking for in your work that is not fulfilling you, or this validation? Where does this come from? And that's where I had to go deep and start. I started doing the trauma work, and I realized it started when I was a child.
Right.
And when you are the eldest daughter of immigrant parents, grew up in like a basement suite and saw your parents struggle and financially and with their jobs or career and marriage and all that. And all, I didn't know I was carrying all of that. Right. And so much more.
Right.
And then I had my own issues. You know, I struggled with self-esteem, I struggled with my weight, I struggled with acne as a teenager, which really, really affected my self-esteem. And I was like, oh my God, I was still carrying all of that deep within me. And then so many other experiences that happened in my 20s. And it was like, I didn't realize that it was still like deep, deep within me.
That inner child healing, I didn't even know it was so possible to really get in a state of like meditation and then connect with that little you. I think it's interesting because I've had this conversation only one with a different guest who was on, and she was introducing me to inner child healing. And just to be able to go back in time in your own memories to visualize your inner child, and also seeing how maybe for me, for example, I felt like I truly did matter. And I don't know where it came from, where it got to me, but once I was meditating, I just visually saw myself in a little corner, just scared for her life. And I feel like I've always been in a corner, in a space where I felt safe. And now going into the unknown and accepting that, the universe is like, okay, you're ready. You're no longer in the corner. I'm going to shove you in Ottawa by yourself without anyone. And so I guess for you, like, how were you able to embrace the unknown and dive into spirituality?
Well, there was a lot of things. One was surrendering who and what I thought I needed to be.
Yeah.
And getting rid of a lot of my masks and facing a lot of my fears head on.
Right.
Early on, when I started to establish myself in the community, I was really naive. I was really gullible. I was not expecting a lot of negativity. When you're someone who puts yourself out there, you have to be prepared to receive both sides of the spectrum, positivity and negativity. I just went in like, oh, everybody's going to like me. And like, I was just so naive. And the amount of negativity, envy, jealousy, hate, I was like, what? Why?
Yeah.
What did I do? And it was almost like people were so intimidated by the fact that I was just putting myself out there. And again, this is like back in like 2007, 2008, 2009, right? The industry is not what it is now. Right. I'm glad that South Asian girls are now dominating like on social media, but it was not like this back then, right? We barely had Facebook, right? Facebook had just started when I was starting, you know, it was like that. Mm-hmm. And so when you start putting yourself out there, it's like, who does she think she is? Kind of, you know?
Yeah.
How does she go with her head held high? And how is she just so brave? And I was also very experimental. Mm-hmm. Like I was always kind of testing the waters. I'm like, yeah, okay, I've done that. Let's just kind of experiment a little bit more. Let's just go a little bit bolder. Mm-hmm. I would do these like really creative, bold shoots where my breasts were like kind of lightly coming out. And but it was like my art, right?
Right.
I was trying to create high fashion and Vogue and, you know, nobody was really doing that here. When you're someone who starts to kind of step out of the safety net that we've been put in, people are like, whoa, that's too much. That's too different. Right. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And so people can take it the wrong way. But I remember that was my first taste of like hate, like negativity.
Yeah.
And I remember like breaking down crying. And my sister said something to me that I will never forget. She's like, if this is the industry that you want to work in and you are blasted all over like US Weekly or something, if you can't handle this now, how the hell are you going to handle it when that actually happens for you?
Oh, wow.
And you are like international, global, all over the world. And I was like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. You know, and then it was like I started to really study a lot of celebrities, Britney and Beyonce, and I'm like, how do they handle this?
Yeah.
How do they handle all of this? Mm-hmm. That's a lot. You got to be mentally, physically, emotionally prepared, and you have to know who and what you are because you are up against the world.
Yes.
And I just remember praying. I said, God, I know I'm meant for this. Help me get ready for this. Mm-hmm. Prepare me. Whatever it takes. And it's almost like the universe is like, yeah, I know. I'm going to take you through a huge ass storm, but you're going to come out of it and you're going to be smarter, wiser, stronger, but you are going to know who and what you are so that you cannot be controlled and you cannot be manipulated. And nobody's comments or negativity is going to bother you or affect you. You're just going to keep what you want to do.
Or I also struggle with this. It's like authenticity has a price to pay. I always struggle with this because I recently experienced this where I'm like, okay, I'm just going to be my authentic self and there's nothing anyone can take from me because it's just me. But I realize that there are times when you choose authenticity and people around you really show their true colors because they feel like that's a problem to them for you to choose yourself. Sometimes it could be like your own cousin or your own family that portrays that jealousy, that envy, but there's still love. It's just with a lot of hurt.
Here's the thing, because I'm really good at reading energy, I can always feel when people's energy shifts. Like, you know, when you're like at a party and you're really dressed nicely, and as soon as you say hi to someone, you can feel the energy shift in them. And it's almost like, oh, because it's like, you look good. And then they internalize it like, oh, I don't look as good, you know?
Yes.
And I could always feel that from people. And when I would purposely make myself small because I'm like, oh, I don't want you to feel less than. Mm-hmm. But then I realized, Misha, that's not your problem.
Right.
That's a them problem. Mm-hmm. Right? You're not taking anything from them. You are just walking in as yourself. That's who you are. You are a strong, powerful, magnetic woman. God made you that way. If people have a problem with you, tell them to talk to God about it.
Right?
I tried for many years to dim myself down, to make me less powerful, to make me less. Nothing worked. Nothing worked. I could literally be in a pair of sweatpants and walk into a coffee shop and people will still stare at me. I can't turn it off, no matter what I do.
Yeah.
Right. And I just got to a point where I was like, Misha, you need to accept this is who you are. God made you this way. There's some kind of energy within you that just, I don't know what it is, but either people love it or don't love it. Right. And there's nothing I can do about it. All I can do is show up and be my authentic self and live my truth and be happy. And that's it. And if I can help people in some way or form, cool. I will try my best. Yeah. But I'm not responsible for the way they respond to me or the way I choose to live my life.
Wow. Right? Yeah. It makes me think about, or I was meditating a couple of weeks ago and I was trying to understand something. There was something missing in what I'm trying to uncover to my past. And I saw myself, I realized in high school, like the times where I chose to be authentic. And also in high school, it's very hard to be your authentic mm-hmm. self because there's so much chaos. But I realized that once you choose to be your authentic self, I remember in high school, I would just have like less and less friends because you are finally stepping into your power almost. But then because you're losing friends in high school, you're going to be like, okay, I'm going to dim my light so I can have more friends. But that was so interesting for the universe to like uncover this, because now you're noticing that you have less and less friends. And some people might be like, oh, like there's something wrong with her. But really, it's like you have to be selective of who you invite into your space. Otherwise, you're just going to feel unbalanced and just not yourself.
You know, some of my clients have actually become like my soul family because they know I'm the only one that kind of gets them right now in their journey. And I feel connected to them as well. There's a certain space that I have with them. Mm-hmm. And then I have my friends that I've, you know, either met like within the industry, but also it's like the more I level up, the more I start to see who resonates with me, who is on that same timeline with me. And if they're not there, then I just kind of like take a step back or I let them go.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the ones that are kind of still there around, they're actively, you know, working on themselves. They're leveling up. If you don't have friends around you that check you, that like, hey, listen, you're being, you know, a negative Nancy, you need to stop this, or you need to fix this, or you need to work on this. Or, you know, we all have bad days. We all have things like breakups or, you know, things happening at home.
Right.
And if you don't have a safe environment where you can talk to your friends and be like, it's okay, it's not the end of the world, don't worry, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't have that kind of a safe space with your friends, right, then you don't have the right people around you, because your true friends, your real friends, they will accept you as you are, but they will always hold you accountable because they always want you to be better.
When I'm in a period of loss, I don't know, I feel like I always have to recharge for many months of just being by myself.
That when you're in that hermit mode, that means you're about to level up. You're about to gain some kind of wisdom, knowledge, something that you're going to release. And then you're about to step into another higher version of yourself, a timeline, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for example, you know, if you have this goal that's like way up here and you've just started, you're consistently shifting until you match that goal, right?
Right.
So it's like the universe is like, I'm mentally, physically, emotionally preparing you so that you are at the right place, right time, in the right alignment to receive it. If you are not, let's say, internally ready, you know, and then the universe is like, here's your dream job, or here's that dream man, and you have not worked on yourself and you have not dealt with your trauma, you're going to fuck it up.
True, yeah.
When you are someone that knows, okay, I'm here for a huge purpose, God is like, I can't afford to have this fuck up for you. So I'm going through these ringers, through these tests until you are not ready.
Yeah. But with my parents, sometimes I see like the cycles being repeated and I'm always like, the universe is just showing you in different forms, different metaphors of just like, hey, like you're not learning, like here's another one.
A lot of South Asian parents don't understand boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
They're huge people pleasers, which is where we got it from.
Yeah.
Oh, what will people say? What will people think? What about you?
Yes.
What about your needs?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like for them, it's so hard to say no, it doesn't look nice, no, you know, and I'm like, it's okay. Like even me and my sister, sometimes we have to tell our parents, it's okay to say no.
Yes, I do it all the time, yeah.
Right? And no, they're still working on these things sometimes, right?
Yeah. And I think that's also why in the past I couldn't say no. And I always thought about like, what will people think? But now it's like, what will I think? You know, what will I think? And so it leads me to the next question that I want to ask you when it comes to choosing to live in a single life, but not in a way that society portrays it, but just genuinely loving your energy and embracing your feminine energy and masculine at times. What is your opinion on that?
Well, I've been single for many years, and when I shifted into becoming a Reiki master spiritual coach, I stopped dating and I've gone celibate. So it's been almost 3 years for me, but I think it was the best thing I could have ever done. It really, really helped me harness my power. And I didn't realize how much of it I was giving away.
Right.
Especially when you're dating. even as women, we just want to be loved and we want to be seen by a man. And so we think, hey, if we are, you know, intimate, if we do these things, he'll love me, he'll see me. Mm-hmm. No. If a man doesn't even see you the first day and he doesn't connect to your soul, he doesn't see you.
Right.
Trust me. Any person who's actually done the inner work and is in tune with himself, he will connect to your soul first and foremost. Make sure, like, okay, she's special. I'm going to take my time. I'm not going to push her into anything. I'm going to rise up to meet her where she's at. Mm-hmm. And someone who's actively working on himself. And I just found that the men I was attracting were not doing any internal work. Mm-hmm. But it was also like, okay, what am I doing that's allowing these men into my space? And then it went back to my self-worth,
mm-hmm.
right? Seeking validation, mm-hmm. seeking fulfillment. And when I finally was like, okay, I just need to completely devote myself to God, universe, to myself, and that's it. Then I started to find that fulfillment within myself because right. I started to pour into myself. I wasn't mm-hmm. looking for it outside in anybody.
Yeah. How would you define pouring into yourself, or like, what does that look like for you?
So for me, one, I would like commit myself to regular meditation mm-hmm. to make sure my energy was grounded.
Right.
I would do a lot of mirror work. Affirmations where I would look myself in the mirror and I would like literally tell myself, even on the days where I felt shitty or my face was breaking out or I was bloated, mm-hmm. I would just look at myself in the mirror and I was like, you're strong, you're powerful, you're beautiful. I work out a lot. I do a lot of yoga. I go to the gym. And so I started getting into weight training and I would stare at myself in the gym. And as I like was lifting weights or as I was in my yoga poses, I would just look at myself in the mirror and tell myself, you're mm-hmm. strong. You're powerful, you're beautiful, you're magnetic, mm-hmm. you're this. Instead of focusing on like, oh my God, I'm so fat, look at this flab here, look at this. I was like, no, mm-hmm. you're going to take that out and you're just going to keep repeating these words over and over again. Yeah. And it worked. Changing my lifestyle, like eating healthy. Also, I realized that I had a really bad relationship with food. Again, stems from childhood where when I would indulge in like a sweet or something, I would feel guilty for eating that cake or that cookie right. or something, and then I would beat myself up for it. And I really had to change my thoughts and be like, it's okay to have mm-hmm. that piece of cake and enjoy mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. Nothing is gonna happen. You're yeah. not gonna, you know, gain 10 pounds just from having that cake. Mm-hmm. Let yourself enjoy, have a cheat day, whatever, and then Monday to Friday go back to your regular routine. And that really shifted for me too. And now I'm in a space where I can eat whatever I want. I work out. My body's not perfect, but I'm in good, healthy shape
mm-hmm.
because I really had to change the way I was talking to myself. My mm-hmm. inner dialogue had to change a lot too. And also, I make sure that I will get my nails done, or like I got my lashes done, or mm-hmm. I'll go for a massage, or, you know, I'll give myself little treats, things like that. I'll journal. I'll write down things. I have my creative space where I let myself explore and be. I think that's why I turned to fashion and modeling a lot, because it became my way of expressing. And I also learned how to become my own best friend.
Yeah, that's the best part.
Yeah, and I became my own therapist. Literally, I would talk to myself like, what do you want to do today, Misha? Mm-hmm. Let's go grab sushi, or let's go watch a movie.
Yeah, I do that too. Which yeah. some people are like, what are you doing? But I loved it.
Yeah, because you're taking care of you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, what are you in the mood for? Okay, let's go for a walk. Okay, mm-hmm. let's go grab a Starbucks. Like, I literally talk to myself like that, right? I'm taking care of me.
I mean, thank you so much for sharing and being vulnerable and sharing what does it mean when you are filling your own cup. And it looks like there's so many steps internally that you take, but also externally as well. And you can only lead yourself into a healthy interactions with the world that we live in by internally implementing healing into your journey. And for me, a lot of what you said, especially about body image, has been something that I'm trying to find meaning into, especially growing up in a society that kind of objectifies women, and also just watching the Barbie movie recently. And obviously, there will be a whole separate video on the bodies of women. But for me, I don't think I've ever been at peace with my body. And even when I was the healthiest, I feel like I was still struggling with my body And that comes with body dysmorphia. And it's something that so many girls, especially when they transition into womanhood and how your body naturally changes, because you're honestly a being that is so powerful, where you are capable of giving life to another human. And it's just so heartbreaking to hear that there are measures that when we were indulging in food, for example, and you would talk down to yourself. And I spent so many years just talking down because of the way that I looked or the way that I thought I looked. Because sometimes you're looking at pictures, you're just thinking about how negatively you were speaking to yourself when you didn't look a certain way that you thought you did. And it breaks my heart. And it also leads me to how you were talking about affirmations. And I've definitely been doing more of that. And just by going to yoga, for example, which I love that you also touch on this, getting into a yoga pose and looking at yourself in the mirror, embracing that. And despite having other people noticing that you are feeling yourself and there's like insecurities in the room that you are not responsible for, is really important when you are engaging in affirmations. And so practicing that again, like you mentioned, in front of a mirror. And I tend to do that, like when you're putting lotion on your body, you know, like really learn to love every part of your body before someone else can, you know, before you invite other opinions or other people into your journey, definitely finding that within. And I guess before we end this, I always like to ask three questions. Who and what is worth suffering for?
Who and what is worth suffering for?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody should be suffering for anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that word, the way we use that word, needs to be changed. I think it's, we are taught that we're suffering. When you actually go deeper into your spirituality, you realize it's elevating you. Mm-hmm. You're growing, you're expanding, right. You're evolving. Right. And the only way you can do that is when, quote unquote, you're suffering or going through pain, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's how I look at it.
And then the second question is, feeling loss has a way of showing us.
Feeling loss has a way of showing us our true selves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the last one is, what small act of kindness were you once shown that you'll never forget?
There's so many, you know, sometimes it's just like randomly, like sometimes mm-hmm. my clients will bring me like little gifts, mm-hmm. flowers, little treats, candles. They're like, just because. I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, I wasn't even expecting that. They're like, mm-hmm. yeah, but you helped me. You went out of your way. And I'm like, but that's my job, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, that's when I started to realize, oh, that's how the universe is going to give back, right? Mm-hmm. It's like when you help people and you don't even have any expectation, you just yeah. genuinely want to see people do well.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the universe will start to like really reward you.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. It's all the little things. It reminds me of the Disney movie Soul, of just like, I don't know, just appreciating what life has to offer and being your most authentic self as well will be rewarded. And to all the listeners, where can we find you on social media? And if you have any current projects that you're currently working on?
I'm on Instagram. I'm on TikTok. It's just Misha Tour. You should see me pop up.
Mm-hmm.
I currently don't have anything in the works right now. I'm in the process of manifesting, so I can't really say much.
Yeah.
But when it comes in fruition, everyone will know. Right now, I'm just in the space of receiving.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate all that you shared today with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me. This was fun.